Good evening, listeners. It's Monday, August 11th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 971, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a managed WordPress site for just $1 a month for 12 months and a free domain name, or pick up a domain name for just $1.99. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you, and obvious reasons on how I started the show today. Sad news, obviously, coming out of the, really coming for the whole country for a beloved comedian, but we'll talk about that here in a second. Strap in.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in.
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show tonight. We got a great show lined up for you. Lots to share. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here and thanks for staying subscribed. Those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, this is episode 971 on our epic march to 1,000, which we'll reach probably in late October, maybe early November, the way things are going right now. But we want to welcome you to the show for the very first time for checking it out. And we definitely want you to take time to get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content on the website. And, you know, really, when you're over there, it's real easy to get subscribed to. All you have to do is, in the second column of the website, there's a link there to iTunes or to your favorite RSS feed for a podcatcher. Those of you that are Android users, we want you really, the easiest way to subscribe to the show as an Android user is to go over to the Play Store and pick up a podcasting app. And then just in the app itself, search for Geek News Central. You'll find it, get subscribed. That way you'll never miss a single episode. And as I had neglected to do at the beginning of the show tonight, you can see on the website real easy to find the orange box with all the data on the that allows you to get subscribed to any of the shows here at Geek News Central, including our new media show, The Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, and The Elder Divide. So lots going on. And it's an interesting evening here because, as you guys know, I've been playing Ingress off and on for the last year. And really, since about January, I haven't played very much, just have not had the time. But they got a big global event going on right now. And I was basically running what we would call our Intel Center last night, helping coordinate some stuff that was going on in a big global event. And about 15 minutes before the show started tonight, another event has started here in Hawaii. It may already be over. I was like, I can't help, guys. I'm doing the show tonight. So we'll see in an hour or so if there still is assistance needed. And if it is, I might slip out the door for a little bit and help out. But if you're not involved in Ingress, you're like, what is he talking about? But it's a fun game to play on Android and on iOS. And again, I've been playing it for about a year, and just it's a great way to kind of get around, get some exercise, and have fun. But I guess the most important thing about this show is you can reach out to me real easy on Twitter at Geek News, and of course via email geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Google Plus, on Facebook. We've got a tech podcast channel which I'm a part of, where we have the Roku channel, a tech podcast channel on the Roku, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. You can watch the show on Chromecast, on Apple TV. It's real easy to do so. And, you know, the Apple TV gig is, all you got to do is subscribe with your iTunes account. And if you have an Apple TV, go to the podcast section on Apple TV and you'll find it already synced up. It basically follows you. So obviously you want to watch the video portion of the show, or you just even let the audio portion play while you're hanging out. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been here 9+ years supporting the show. And every month they come up with some great deals. But we've had some hanger-ons, I guess for a better word, for quite a while now in them basically not killing codes. You guys are using the codes. And usually when you're using the codes a lot and we're bringing on new customers, they don't kill the code. So right now, the 32% off code is still live in living color. And it's great for new purchases over at GoDaddy. Go32OFF1 is the promo code. I also have a 25% off code that you can use on new top-level domains. So, you know, if they're out of pre-order, pre-registration, let's say the domain, and some of these new top-level domains are a little pricey. Let's say it's $20 for the new top-level domain. Obviously, you're going to be able to get that for $15 by using that Go25Off5 code. Also, we got $1.99.coms by using the promo code GNC199. And then we have some hosting account deals. So just simply incredible. $12 a year gets you a managed WordPress site with a free domain. Again, just $1 a month for the first year. Make sure you pay attention to what it's going to cost you after the first year. And we also have $1 a month just standard economy hosting for with a free domain as well. So look at the two feature sets on both those offers. Press 4 is the WordPress offer, and Geeks 12 is the regular economy hosting. We want you definitely to get hooked up with all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your purchases and your support of buying products at GoDaddy and using my codes keep the lights on, keep my family fed, insurance paid, all that stuff. So we definitely appreciate GoDaddy's support here of the show and your support of the sponsor as well. All right, so let's just chit-chat just a little bit here. On the last show, there was a hurricane almost to be soon to be tropical storm that was fast approaching the Hawaiian chain of islands. And the Big Island, it did come ashore as a Category 1 hurricane, but very, very quickly. I mean, the land, now, the Big Island of Hawaii is huge. And it basically, the eye of the storm, boom, came right across the Big Island, and it just slaughtered it. It was done. I mean, now the Big Island got 12 inches of rain in places. There was plenty of wind. But I had set a camera up here waiting for this storm to advance through, and we figured 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning we were going to get. So at midnight, I started doing a live stream out my window, which was kind of crappy because it was dark, obviously. But in the morning, 6 o'clock, I get up, and I'm looking outside, and I'm like, really? I'm thinking to myself, they quit running the buses, and people are off today. Yahoo! Free day! So what really ended up happening then was Oahu was not affected. I mean, we got less rain than I thought we would get. I was hoping we'd get a lot. We did not. And by noon, it was funny, people stayed home. So I had an event to go to that had already been pre-planned for about a month. And I called the event coordinator, said, are we still on? And he says, yeah, let's, you know, we're still good. And there was like about 20 of us meeting. And we met at Buffalo Wild Wings and had a going away party for someone that I know. And it was packed. Everyone was in there watching preseason NFL football. But the roads were empty. It was crazy. In Hawaii, the roads are never empty. So anyway, the storm was a non-event here, thank goodness. We were prepared for the worst, and everything turned out for the best. But there are still folks in the Big Island who are still suffering with no power. So hearts to go out to them. Now, of course, at the beginning of the show, I did a very bad impression of Robin Williams. Sad to hear today that he has passed through. Really, you know, it's a sad story there. And there's some lessons. You know, every once in a while, a celebrity or maybe someone that we know or an acquaintance or a friend of a friend is having trouble, you know, having mental trouble. Do not discount any of that when you're working and talking with people. You know, it's too bad that he ended his life the way it's being reported that he did. But it just goes to show you that there's people out there that are hurting. So, you know, there's national suicide help support lines. Almost every city has one locally. You can, if you're needing help or feeling down, you can dial 911 and they'll put you in contact with the right people. Just Google. And I'm not saying anyone in this audience is in that situation, but it's a big, it's a final decision, that kind of an action. So we don't want to lose anybody in the Ohana for someone being troubled. And it troubles me when I hear these types of situations where life is so bad that for them, or they at least feel it's so bad for them that they would commit suicide. It's really it's tragic. It really is. So you know, if you're in that situation, talk. Call me, email me. I'll call you. Just talk to friends, anyone. And I can't say that I'm going to give you the answers, but I'm definitely going to point you in the right direction of people that will. And you know, just pay attention to people in your family and friends and, you know, check on them, see how they're doing, give them a hug. It's just times like these when these, you know, it's obviously suicide is a common occurrence throughout the world, and it doesn't get publicized a lot until it's a big celebrity that does something. But yeah, it's just too bad for him and his family. So anyway, don't want to go on too long about that, but man, nothing better than the start of his, you know, the movie he was at was Good Morning Vietnam, you know. Oh man, that's just something, is it sticks in your head. And anyone that's ever seen that movie will never forget that. And the other moments, and of course, in the early days, so many folks that are younger probably don't, Mork and Mindy and all that, you know, all that time, too tragedy here. Okay, so let's go ahead and switch gears. Saturday, we had a great guest on for the New Media Show. It was a lady entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur. And Rob and I had talked about having more women on our show because we wanted to give the women in this audience and those that are thinking about doing media some role models to look after and see how other folks are doing. But Esprit Devora had a great time talking with her on Saturday on the New Media Show. And she's getting ready to launch a show here in about another day and a half. And it's about LA startups, so I'm sure it's going to be a great show. So those of you that are techies that want to find out what's going on with the LA scene, you'll definitely want to go over to wearelatech.com/podcast to get hooked up with her show. Okay, just a little programming note here. I am headed to Dallas on Thursday. There will be, I'm hoping we have a guest host for the Thursday night show. I may be able to do the Monday night show. I don't know. I'm going to plan as if I will not. But the reason I'm heading to Dallas is Podcast Movement. This is an event of podcasters that are going to be there. About, I think, close to 700 are convening in Dallas. And I've got two sessions. I'm going to be introducing actual media buyers to the podcasters. We're going to have a session that's going to be 45 minutes or so where two media buyers in this space are going to talk to podcasters about what they can do and get ready for their shows. And I'm going to be on a panel with my co-host, the New Media Show, Rob Greenlee. We're going to talk about podcast networks, and we're going to have one of the insiders at the Adam Carolla Show on with us as well. So that should be a great event to talk about it when we get back here on a show. But potentially two shows with me being in Dallas. I just don't see myself doing a show, definitely on Thursday, flying out. But it's just one of those things that just came at a kind of a weird time this year. And that's what's up. I do want to thank our GNC 1000 Ohana. Everyone, of course, for being part of the Ohana here. But I want to thank Dale, a big kahuna, for his ongoing contribution. We want to thank Warrior Andrew. And for those of you that are thinking about supporting the show with a monthly donation, we definitely want you to join the ranks of our Hawaiian Warriors, Chiefs, Kings, and Priests, essentially. I guess that's the best way to say it. And we really appreciate your ongoing support and those of you that are considering supporting the show by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. If you've started contributing to the show and I've missed you, definitely email me and also email Sam so he gets you on the list at insider@geeknewscentral.com. Okay, so let me go ahead here and I think I got that's the short stack tonight. I'm going to be able to get right into the content. I think that's all I have. Hello to the chat room. Justin, how you doing in the chat room? Aloha. And, of course, aloha to everyone else that's with us tonight. I've got a couple of topics that I don't know why it didn't dawn on me. I'm not wearing my Fitbit tonight. And there's a reason for it because I got to thinking a little bit about my Fitbit, and I'm testing a Samsung phone right now. You guys know I'm testing a Samsung Galaxy S5. It takes my heartbeat and will do a it'll report how many steps I'm taking. And I got to thinking about that data, and I kind of dawned to myself saying, you haven't looked at the privacy statements of those companies. I haven't looked at what Fitbit's doing with my data. Now, they may have something in place where they're not going to share my data, but they may not, or they may be selling my data to insurance companies, to researchers, clothes manufacturers, all kinds of different things here that could be done by me wearing a Fitbit. It knows exactly what I've done every day. It knows if I've walked 5,000, 10,000 steps. It knows if I have been dormant in working at my desk all day, whether I've got up and had high activity times. And it's only going to get deeper. This technology is really, really cool. It's cool to track and to see where you're at. And I've been putting my weight in. And you guys know now I'm every other day program right now. I did not get to the 199 mark. So I'm hovering right around 203, 204 right now with my weight. And of course, obviously I'm telling you guys what I weigh, so it's not like it's a big privacy secret. But this Fitbit and all the other devices, where's that data going? And be honest with you, what really tipped my hand and what kind of triggered my thought process today was very early this morning, I saw an article on Computer World where Senator Charles Schumer, a Democrat of New York, wants the U.S. Federal Trade Commission to investigate the data gathering and sharing practices of makers of personal fitness devices and applications. In a statement, the senator said the fitness bracelet makers like Fitbit and makers of smartphone applications for fitness tracking collect highly sensitive information from individuals with few restrictions on how they use the data. They're using GPS location data. The application also gathers, tracks information as how many steps per day, calories burned, sleep patterns. It's not doing blood pressure on mine yet, but that's coming, right? So typically, the data is uploaded to the vendor system for analysis and feedback. But there's no federal regulations or legal requirements restricting vendors from selling that health data to third parties without users' consent. So if the vendors chose to, they could sell the personal health data to employers, health insurers, third parties, creating a potential privacy nightmare. So, you know, I'm 50, turned the big 50 in June, and my insurance went up. You know, my policies, my life insurance policies went up. And for those of you that are, you know, those guys know I was in the Navy for 25 years. I had a term life insurance policy with them when I retired, and that basically expired. And really, I had piss poor plan on buying a policy when I was young. So like many Americans, I had to buy a term policy. And every 5 years, as you get older, the policy is going to, because, you know, your risk of death is higher as you get older. And a term policy, you haven't paid out over 20 years into it. You know, I've been paying 7 years on a term policy, which is just basically a rental policy. And as long as I figure out the money I'm paying in is worth what I'm going to get return if, you know, I punch out and give my wife some peace of mind, it's worth to pay it. So, and a lot of folks don't even have that ability to pay for insurance. So what happens at, let's say when I turn 55 and all of a sudden my term life insurance policy is canceled because they said, Todd, you have not been doing enough exercise. Or maybe they just don't give a reason. Maybe they just cancel it. Maybe it's because the device has been reading our blood pressure, our heart rate, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 we're flagged as, hey, this guy's about ready to stroke out. That is a real issue. So I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be something that's going to happen here. So I know there's a bunch of you that are on the show. We share data back and forth. You're friends with me on Fitbit and we can see each other's numbers. So if you and I are friends and we are sharing that information together and I'm looking at your data and you're looking at mine, and I tell you there's some of the folks that are part of this audience doing 25,000 steps a day, and I'm applauding you. Congratulations. Yeah, that's huge. You know, my goal is to get over 5,000 a day, and I don't always do that. And if I have a great day, it's at 10,000. So, the government needs to review vague policies used by these vendors. And we as users of this need to look at the privacy settings and ask Fitbit and Samsung and all these other companies that are making these tracking devices, what you're doing with the data, you know, because it's tied to you. It's tied to your account. So you guys got the point here on this. I really want to hear from you. I want to hear what your thought process is. Are you worried? Of course, we're already giving the government and the businesses everything else. So do we get to a point where maybe it's time to start pulling back a little bit and not sharing as much and not sharing this data? You guys know behind me that I've got a humidor back there. And be honest with you, I haven't opened that thing in a long, long time. I would like to partake in a cigar on a regular basis, but I know that it's not good for me. And it's a very, very rare occasion when I'll break one out. You know, I give cigars to my friends that I have collected over the years because I just don't smoke cigars. Only on a rare, rare occasion anymore. And so they're already tracking what we're buying, right? And they are going to be, you know, so if they know your buying habits based on credit card data and everything, you know, we've talked about that many times on here. They knew my wife and I were expecting before we had really announced to anyone else on my child that's now going to be almost 11. So they know a lot about us, folks, way too much. And this data could be used against us. And if what happens if Obamacare ties in and at some point the government starts pulling that data and says, well, dude, you know, you need a triple bypass, but for the past 10 years, we have data that shows that you had a very sedentary life. We don't think it's worth the effort to do a triple bypass because, you know, you're not going to appreciate it. That, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could. So anyway, what do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. Really want to hear from you on this one. Okay, so switching gears completely here, let's talk about privacy. So imagine so let's run a scenario here. You've gotten in trouble with the law. You have, you're on probation, and basically you are subject to a probationary search at any time. The police can pull you out of your car, come into your house and search and look for, whether it be drugs or whatever the issue may be, they can come in and do a search and look for illegal substances. So imagine if you are one of these individuals that is on probation and the police say, hey, we're coming in, and they don't need a warrant. They come right in your house. You say, okay, that's cool. I'm going to record you while you're here. And the police say, no, you can't record us. Well, all of a sudden you're thinking, they're in my home. They have a right to search, but they don't have the right to basically stop me from recording them being in the home. Well, a situation happened where in February 2011, a lady was visited by three police officers. And she basically said, hey, I'm recording you with my laptop. The webcam's on. And they forbid her from doing that. They erased the video. She took them to court. And today a magistrate judge has come down in favor of this lady, basically saying, hey, she's in her own home. Essentially, she can record whatever she wants, whether or not she's on probation or if she's just someone that's having a search warrant executed on them for the first time. They can record. Now, you might be in handcuffs, but the magistrate's judge's ruling must be approved by a U.S. district judge, but all parties were given until August 19th to file objections. But this is, you know, if you think about that, this big thing right now is there's this big battle about police officers feeling very vulnerable and not wanting people to videotape them. And it's a lot of people are. And rightfully so in many cases. You know, we've got riots going on in a city in the United States right now because of a shooting. So, you know, people are using the media in their hand to, you know, to watch what's going on. And of course, I'm not going to speculate on any of the stuff that's going on over there. But oftentimes, you know, we've seen the videos of police officers abusing people that are coming under arrest, or vice versa, a person that's under arrest attacking or fighting with the police. So it works both ways. But judges affirm that a probationer or any one of us has a right to tape police officers in our homes, and they can't stop us from doing that. Now, again, you might be in handcuffs. If you can snake your cell phone out, you can record them, okay? All right, why is the FCC only holding net neutrality meetings in Washington, D.C.? That's the question being asked by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They're saying, hey, people across the United States have commented on this. This is the biggest amount of comments you have ever received, and you're only going to hold hearings in D.C. And why is that? Well, it's because the lobbyists and their friends are all going to be, you know, have the money to go there and sit through it and essentially fill the seats with warm bodies and basically stack the deck and, you know, use the power of the almighty dollar to make sure that the actual public isn't going to be heard. So the FF is petitioning the FCC to do that. We'll see if anything comes of it. I doubt it. You know, this thing's in the bag. You know, the FCC is not going to do anything. They're really not. Now, I have to applaud a judge today. And it isn't often that, you know, lawsuits and class action lawsuits sometimes are very frivolous, sometimes they're well deserved. But we've been following for many, many months now how Apple, specifically Steve Jobs, conspired with Google, Intuit, Adobe, I believe, a number of companies to limit the careers of workers and to prevent cross-hiring. Now, a judge today basically said, I'm not signing off on the $350 million settlement to resolve the lawsuit. The judge has basically said the class action settlement was too low. Given the strength of the case against the companies, Intel and Adobe, of course, were a part of the proposed deal as well. And as she says, there's substantial and compelling evidence that the late Apple co-founder Steve Jobs was, if not, the central figure in the alleged conspiracy. So let me read that again, that the late co-founder Steve Jobs, in quotes, was, if not, the central figure in the alleged conspiracy. The judge provided details and evidence of antidotes involving Jobs and other Valley executives to show why she thought the workers deserved more. Now, Here's the thing. In this, this is going to go to trial now. Or maybe they're going to pump up some more money, because I think there's going to be big, big damages. If this goes to a jury trial, people get pissed off when companies manipulate its workers to the point where they're suppressing their wage earnings. And even though the case is largely based on emails between Google's Eric Schmidt and Steve Jobs, there's going to be some serious doo-doo on the floor when this is all brought out in court. Now, what would have happened is the plaintiffs have asked, or the workers have asked, for $3.24 billion at trial, which would have tripled to $9.7 billion under U.S. antitrust laws. But the trial attorneys that the workers hired basically said, we'll take the $350 million, because they didn't want to go to trial. They want to get their cash and run. But one of the gentlemen that were in this case objected and basically said, hey, this is too little, and the court is obviously agreed here. So this is going to, be honest with you, I think there needs to be, in this case, a big enough punishment to these companies that they will, and a wake-up call to other companies throughout the country, whatever space, whether it be the garment industry, whether it be tech, whether it be the food industry, whatever, that you're playing by basically not having agreements, secret agreements, to not hire each other's employees. I hope the penalty comes down so hard and so large that no one will ever even consider doing that ever again. I don't like to see companies lose huge amounts of money, but in this case, I think it's justified. Now, will a jury find that way? I don't know. How much will they award? We don't know, but it's going to be interesting for sure to see what happens here. I think they'll raise the amount. I don't think these companies are going to want to go to trial and sit in front of the American public who gets picked for that trial to risk billions of dollars on 12 or 13 people to, or whatever it is in California, whatever the numbers that's going to sit on the civil proceedings. It could get huge. So I think what's going to happen, in my opinion, is that they're going to come back with a big number, a very big number, and they'll probably settle and walk. What do you guys think? Do you think the employees should have sued? Are you against this? How much do you think they should have to pay? How much would you penalize Apple, Google, you know? How much would you whack those folks with? Intel, Adobe. I may have said Intuit earlier. That was incorrect. I believe they weren't involved in that. So Intel and Adobe. So let's see. I'd like to hear from you. geeknews@gmail.com. Last year, actually 2 months ago, after a lot of lobbying by the biggest satellite companies in North America, the United States relaxed restrictions to allow commercially available satellite imagery up to 25 centimeter resolution. Now, it used to be 50 centimeters. Now, if you get your yardstick out, 25 centimeters isn't, it's pretty good. You know, if you think about a satellite being in space and then them, you know, looking down and can have per pixel a 25 centimeter resolution, you can start to see some pretty interesting details. Now, you may not be able to see like a remote control, but you definitely would be able to see my face or the outlines of my face in pretty good detail with a 25 centimeter resolution. So this is going to get large here soon. The Digital Globe Worldview 3, the first commercial satellite to capture these high-res images, is set to launch on Wednesday. 6 months after that, private businesses, including its regular client Google, will be able to get their hands on hyper-detailed data and videos of the globe. So we're going to get to see a lot closer than what we have been before from a commercial offering. Now, you know, it's, you just wonder, you know, you'd have to speculate, okay, if they're going to allow 25 centimeters, what's the resolution that that they don't want them to go down to, you know, that's being used in other cases for government use only. Makes you go, just a little bit. But anyway, 25 centimeter on commercial satellites. That's, you know, from the United States. All right, just switching totally here, and I've got this show completely jacked from a flow standpoint tonight. How many of you that are following what's going on with Twitch or actually watch some of those gaming shows on Twitch have been over to Hitbox? Apparently Hitbox is starting to gain in popularity. So I thought I'd let you guys know that. I haven't been to either one ever and probably won't. It's just not my thing. Also, there's a great article in the Washington Post by one of the top cybersecurity leaders in the United States only uses a pager instead of a smartphone. And that should make you go, just a little bit. Speaking on his own behalf as a keynote at the Black Hat USA last week, Dan Gere laid out an ambitious plan to help secure the internet and define privacy in digital age, including mandating security breach disclosure, having the U.S. government buy and disclose all zero-day zero-day vulnerabilities it can find, and supporting an even stronger right to be forgotten that is currently being tried in the European Union. So it's on YouTube. It's a pretty interesting speech. With everything going on, you may want to check it out, and I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. You know, I talked to you guys earlier this year about the new startups that are happening in Las Vegas, and it's really was exciting to me see what's going on down there, and I'll probably be attempting to cover some of that when we go to CES this year, as I'm not going to be doing as much. We're changing the format of what we're doing for our live coverage. But in Reno, if any of you are close to Reno, apparently now Reno's become like another tech hub. If you walk down First Street in downtown Reno, and I haven't been to Reno in, my God, many, many years. It's been 30 years probably. You can see an evolving city that, as the folks on GigaOM say, is like an awkward teenager transitioning between an old life and the glimpse of a new one. The street which hugs the Truckee River has been informally nicknamed Startup Row because of the 20 or so startups that have come to call the area home. The young developers building Internet of Things hardware, devices, kid-focused iPad apps, and connected bike training kits. And what it is they're getting the heck out of the Silicon Valley because it's too expensive there to live and work. And Reno's got enough fun they can probably stay entertained while at the same time not so distracted they can get a lot of work done. So very cool what's going on in Reno. Any of you live in Reno, go down there and give me the skinny on what's going on. I'd like to see some kind of hear of more of the companies that are down there. A lot of folks are real happy with what's going on with Chromecast. And it's starting to impact Apple TV a little bit. I think Apple's a little slow on the draw. I think they're a year late in getting out the new update with the new, basically being able to build apps for it. And Chromecast is making some serious headway. So a lot of people are saying they're starting to replace their Apple TV with a Chromecast. Have you guys done that? Or are you guys still using your Apple TV? My next door neighbor, we were hanging out, I was talking with him. He uses his Apple TV a lot. And I said, well, have you tried a Roku? And he's like, no. And I brought him over to the house and showed him the Roku, and he ordered one today. So he may not be long for Apple TV either. But just goes to show you that sometimes you just need to talk to your neighbors about this stuff. Good article in Wired about talking about how having complex passwords are not that much safer than ABCDE. So talks about some of the crazy stuff that's going on and the stupidity of website developers and not encrypting passwords. It just blows my mind that big companies really have passwords stored in open databases that are not encrypted. There's a lot of people that are pushing back on the Messenger app, and I'm not a big fan of it either. Facebook has, though, finally put up a page explaining Messenger permissions, so you can basically change the rules on what it's going to do when it beeps you or tries to make you use the app to talk back to your friends on Facebook. I know a lot of people are removing it completely from their phones and only chatting to people on their desktops. It is really annoying in a big, big way. And I think Facebook made a big mistake here. And by the one-star ratings everyone's getting and it's being forced to use it, I think we all can agree it's one last app we don't need when we could have just done it in the current app that they have now, which they took out. The good statistic coming out on cord cutters grew by 44% in the past 4 years, with 7.6 million people using high-speed internet for streaming or downloading videos instead of traditional cable or satellite television, according to Experian. So this is an interesting a survey that they've done. But they basically are saying that 48% of U.S. adults and 67% of young adults watch streaming or downloaded video during a typical week. With explosion of smartphones and digital tablets and steady rise of internet-connected homes, consumers are watching more video when and where they want than ever before. And mobile is the first screen for watching streaming or downloading, with 24% of all U.S. adults and 40% of all smartphone owners watching this type of video each week. I'm not using my smartphone to watch long videos, just short stuff. Someone sends me a link, I'll pop it, like a 2-minute YouTube video or something. But I still use my big screen for most videos. Now, my daughter, on the other hand, she uses her Samsung Galaxy S5 in her room. She has it propped up and she watches movies on it. This should not come as a surprise. Comcast, Time Warner Cable have helped honor one of the FCC commissioners. Comcast will pay $110,000 to be a top-level presenting sponsor at the Walter Cates Foundation annual dinner in September, at which an FCC commissioner is receiving a Diversity Advocate Award, according to the foundation's spokesperson. Time Warner has also spent $22,000 in May to the foundation for the same event. So $132,000 is going towards an event that's going to be honoring an FCC sitting commissioner. See what big money can buy, folks? It can buy anything. Whenever I see new cool tools and devices for folks that are either physically impaired, handicapped, I always get excited to share with you guys. This is not a cheap device, but there's a wheelchair now. Let me bring this up for you guys. Make sure I've got... Let me turn this off. Turn that... Whoops. It's called a... it's basically a mobile wheelchair. It's a... it's like a little ATV, but it's designed for people that are actually... confined to wheelchairs. And it's got the same type of controls that folks that would be using a wheelchair would have. $30,000 is what it cost. But this six-wheeled articulated hex hog wheelchair obviously costs about as much as a newly equipped car. But, when folks have been constrained to only being able to stay on sidewalks, and if they go off-road with their wheelchairs having to be, pushed and pulled, I think this is a pretty cool dealio here. So look forward to seeing folks that are, paralyzed or so forth having the ability to get out and see the countryside. Now, it'll go about, what is the battery life on this thing? Dun, 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 dun. It'll go about, not too bad, 12 miles. So that 8 to 12 miles is still pretty good. At a park, at a field, out of the sand dunes or something. They should have put a motor on this thing, but right now it's electricity. So pretty slick here. It doesn't go very fast. It goes, the fastest speed, I think, is 8 miles an hour. But still, nice device. Again, it's the Hex Hog, and you can find that at hexhog.com. There's a cool video on research.microsoft.com that talks about hyperlapse videos. If you've ever used a GoPro and just rode your bike around and then tried to do a time-lapse video, when you see this, you're going to be excited about some technology that's potentially coming to Windows. This thing is really slick. I was really impressed. It's not a product. It's in test stage at this point. But if we can get our hands on it at some point, it's going to make those types of time-lapse videos be much cooler. Microsoft has reignited the Mac versus PC conflict for new Surface Pro 3 ads. They produced two or three of them, and basically it's, you know, Microsoft's trying to take a shot here at Mac. Link will be up in the show notes. This article on The Verge, you'll be able to watch the videos yourself. They did a nice job on them. Also, a great article on Wired where a guy decided he would like everything he saw on Facebook for 2 days. What do you think would happen if you liked everything in your Facebook feed for 2 days? Want to know what would turn out? You would just about want to never use Facebook ever again. There's some pretty good insights into what Facebook's doing here, and also the extreme measures Facebook goes to share what you like with your friends, and it definitely is an eye-opener. I will be very careful from now on in liking anything that is a video or an ad, or there's definitely some things here, art news, that type of stuff that's going on. When you guys read this article, and I want you to, you're going to be just like, oh my goodness. So, be careful with the like button, because Google will basically send you data that you like to you very shortly after you have clicked the like button. Also, there's a pretty cool video on paleoffuture.gizmodo.com talking about some very trippy 1970 videos that warned that the United States government was spying on you. It's kind of weirdo videos, but I think you guys will get an eye-opener of them on where we were and where we are, and, you know, it's kind of a interesting thing. 40 years, there's some people had some pretty good insights. And of course, you know, whenever the government shows up, they always say they're here to help, but the United States government has a new team to make sure its websites don't suck. So they've a new office, according with, of course, with taxpayer dollars, has been launched called U.S. Digital Services. It's headed by Mickey Dickerson, the former Google engineer, widely credited with fixing healthcare.gov. And the USDS will include about 25 people consisting of the country's brightest digital talent who will be in charge of remaking the digital experience that citizens and businesses have with their government. 25 people are going to be able to fix the government's computer systems. They might as well get a budget about the size of Homeland Security, because that's what it's going to take to fix. 25 people? Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, and they're probably all making top government wage. Wow. They probably had to give them bonuses to get them to hire, because government doesn't pay that much for those types of, you know, if they really did get top people, you know, like I think about $150,000 is about the most a government worker can make. You know, I don't think, you know, those types of people demand much bigger dollars than that. So they probably have some special incentive, and we'll have to see if we can find out what their wages are over there through some of the governmental websites. Fiverr. I just, you know, I really hadn't paid attention to this site. Fiverr, Fiverr.com has raised another $30 million for online service marketplace. Basically, Fiverr, you can get designs and graphics. It's all $5. And it's cool. If you have never been over there, if you run a website and you're looking for graphics, you can also contract for higher amounts, obviously. But Fiverr's, you know, the way it is. Be careful when getting graphics from artists too. Make sure they're not using copyrighted material and so forth. But very, very cool stuff. $30 million for Fiverr. Apple suppliers said to begin production of a new iPad tablet, of course, 9.7 and 7.9, so no real huge changes there, so we expect to see an announcement in the next couple of months on the new iPad. And also, there's an article over in the Register talking about a secret Apple university that basically is the place where they go indoctrinate all Apple employees on Apple policies and design considerations and a whole bunch of stuff. So they have a training academy that's fully staffed year-round. They have professors and instructors of all sets of, that are basically in all different types of dialogues and so forth. So this is a little bit of leaked information, and if you're thinking about going to work for Apple, you will be indoctrinated. Like most companies have some training, but it looks like theirs is a little more serious. I've only booked a couple of I got to stop, breathe, switch gears. I've only booked a couple of reservations with OpenTable. It's come in handy, especially when we were on travel, to book and basically guaranteed a reservation a few days in advance and walked in and everything was cool. But OpenTable is launching what it's called Meal Pay Service in 20 cities, starting in New York City. So restaurant goers in the United States will soon have another way to pay for their meals without waiting for the check. Basically, what you're going to do is when you're going to get your bill right on the OpenTable app. So instead of having, hey, you know, send me the check or giving them a credit card, bink, you slide to pay right on your phone. Pretty cool stuff. Doesn't it piss you off sometimes? You're waiting for the waiter. They don't come. You're like, you're doing everything to get the guy's attention, the lady's attention to get your check. You know, and over, you know, this is like the international, for those of you watching, is the international sign of give me the check. So this is cool. I could have used this a few times when we were in San Francisco. Comcast. Oh my gosh. You guys want to be entertained? You want to have a good laugh for 13 minutes? You want to learn how Comcast negotiates? There's a 13 minute and 57 second audio that you need to listen to. And basically, the brunt of the story is the guy got charged something he shouldn't on his bill because of a service call where the service issue was outside his house after he'd done a self-install. He was talked to a rep on the phone who said, nope, you don't have to pay for that. That's on the outside. Later, he got the bill. They put a bunch of charges on that was as if it was an inside charge. And ultimately, because he had recorded a previous call, he was able to get the charges took off. But you want to see some tap dancing? 13 minutes and 57 seconds of it. Comcast is not doing well. Not doing well. You know, I wonder how I can get a gig like this. Please sign me up. I want a gig like this. Every day is goof off day at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Apparently, 70% of the patent examiners work by telepresence. They work from home. They did this big audit. So there's 8,300 patent examiners. I didn't realize there was that many. With 8,300, they shouldn't have any backlog. But apparently, they work full-time from home, and oversight of the telework program is nil. And an investigation was done, and basically, the manager said that a significant number of examiners don't work for long periods. Then they rush to get their reviews done at the end of each quarter. They're given a number of things they have to review. They're given a, you know, like, you got to do 100 or 200. How many, you know, patents you have to review? And to meet their quota, they rush, and oftentimes that affects quality standards. Now, these folks earn $148,000 a year to work from home, telepresence, where they have to set their own hours, and they basically get to... they're just given a quota on the number of patents they have. How in the heck do I get one? This has got to be the biggest scam job in the entire country. I'm serious. I think if I need a job, I'm going to go apply for the USPTO. This sounds like a deal. These folks often have masters and doctorates. They're experts in their field. sign me up. Yeah, I can kick out a couple patents a day and, you know, go to the beach the rest of the time. How does this happen? Stuff is out of control. People should be fired. Fired. Go get a new job. Get a real job. Fired. No one in regular industry would put up with such crap. They would not. It would not be allowed. you know, where's Joe today? He's out. Okay. Is he sick? No, he's just out. He said he'd get his work cut off at the end of the week, though. Huh? Be like, hey, Joe, you can come and clean your desk out, man. You don't have a job no more. That's what it would be. But the government, they're allowed just to, hey, hang out at home and take a month's vacation, log in the computer once in a while. Just leave yourself logged in. Heck, don't even have to log yourself out. And then, I got a quota due. Oh, I got 2 weeks. Let me knock out the 100. Approve, disapprove, approve. This is how come so many of these crappy nutso patents are approved is because these idiots are rushing. Oh, that one's good. Yep, that's up. Oh, disapproved. Kick that one back. Oh, that one's good. What a scam. Total scam. Are you mad? Does stuff just make you mad? Many of you are working like dogs. Independent business owner, you're putting 18 hours a day in. You're working for your boss. He wants, you know, he's being a slave driver. You know, you can't get away with this. You get 10 days vacation a year. You know, you don't get any sick leave. They only give you partial federal holidays. And then this, you hear about that? Oh, it's got to make you mad. All right. Justin says he just looked on usajobs.gov. He says there's lots of USPTO jobs. If you're looking for a job and you either have a master's degree or a doctorate and you're an expert in something, how about basket weaving? Let's see, what else? Painting. What else could we be? Anything. Podcasting. Hey, I qualify. Wow. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, people that are actually doing real work in the world, some scientists have made a laser that can detect explosives from half a mile away. The system could map out whole areas of land according to the fertilizer and drug content. Imagine that. Think about that usage. So a biomedical engineer at Texas A&M, co-author of a study of an email to The Verge, have described similar laser sensing technology. The system was being able to attain such a long distance, especially not on a single shot basis. Where was this? It was who released this? A new study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Who did it? Who did it? Does it say? Doesn't say who did it. Was it DARPA? Who did this? That's the question. Cool stuff. And also good stuff for our military guys who are on the ground looking for explosives or these IUDs. Microsoft's going to be patching two critical bugs on Patch Tuesday, so just be aware of that. It's not for Windows 8.1 users who haven't installed the Windows. So it's basically a couple. And is there's going to be, it does look like it's for Windows 8.1, Office 2007, anything for Windows 7? Don't think so, but there will be some updates coming on Patch Tuesday. Okay, there's an interesting thing going on. And you know, I grew up the country, I'm proud to say it. And there wasn't this channel when I was growing up, but it's called RFD-TV. It's rural America's most important network, and it reaches about 40 million households, mostly country farmers and ranchers. It has shows that it's like the Farm Report, and it's all about country living and the things that folks in the heartland of America face in doing their business and you know, getting crops off the field and so forth. But this particular channel is in threat of being basically no longer be on any cables because of the mergers like Comcast. So they're out there cheering for this. So if you are a RFD TV fan, there are some folks that are out there fighting for you. I know it's already been removed in Comcast channel in Colorado and New Mexico, and it's not carried by AT&T UVerse, but it is on some providers. It is not on satellite, but it's just, you know, they've got thousands of channels, but this channel they won't carry because they don't, I guess they just want to make the country folks suffer that use that information that's coming off that channel. All right, plastic wrap nano sheets. And I'm hearing about nanotech anymore. I'm getting a little weirded out. But this one blocks infections from burn wounds. This was put together by a Japanese team. Yusuke Okamura led the team that created the material. The nano sheets can adhere only to not only to a flat surface, but also to uneven and irregular surfaces without adding any adhesives. The coating has been tested on a variety of various materials, including a metal needle and a mouse's finger. It successfully and comprehensively covered the mouse's hand and stayed in place. Tests on the burn showed the nano sheets blocked common bacteria, which has been known to cause potentially deadly infections in hospitals. So it's basically a blocking material. So it's kind of like saran wrap, but doesn't stick to you. If you're an Android user, there's been an update to Dropbox app. Grab that, and I'll let you preview apps before or documents before you download them. The war of words continue between Amazon and Hachette. Right now, ads being run in a newspaper, letters going to authors. It just continues to be an ugly situation over there, and it probably will continue for some time until someone says uncle. You know, speaking of the heartland of America that feeds the United States and most of the world, agriculture has an enormous footprint. It has to satisfy the consumer demands of us and the exports that we send throughout the world. By some estimates, agriculture accounts for 90% of humanity's water use. We can understand that. And one other of the areas that's felt is carbon emissions. And when I hear this crap about carbon emissions and carbon credits and all this stuff, now they're probably going to start regulating farming. So they're trying to come up with ways to reduce the carbon footprint. Do you realize that farmers plant crops, harvest them, and then generally plow them down or knife them in? It goes back into the subsoil. Anyway, they've done some research and said we should restrict farming to certain areas of high production throughout the world so that we get the most bang for the buck, so we're not adding carbon emissions to the atmosphere. You want to eat? A farmer's got to plant crops. Amazing. T-Mobile has a new pay-as-you-go plan, simpler and sometimes cheaper. You pay as you go. You pay per text, pay per minute. And it could be as much as 10 cents for every text, every minute that you're on the phone. And it's a new pay as you go. Interesting concept. Now, you have to think about this next one. This one's big. We're going to wrap the show up here in a second. And this sounds like something out of Terminator. Injecting liquid metal into blood vessels could help kill tumors. One of the interesting emerging treatments for certain types of cancer aims to starve the tumor to death. This strategy involves destroying or blocking blood vessels that supply a tumor with oxygen nutrients. Without its lifeblood, the unwanted growth shrivels up and dies. This can be done physically by blocking the vessel with blood clots, gels, balloons, glue, nanoparticles, and so on. However, these techniques have never been entirely successful because the blockages can be washed away by blood flow and the materials do not always fill blood vessels entirely. So now, Chinese researchers said they've solved the problem by filling blood vessels with an endymion gallium alloy that is liquid at body temperature. They tested the idea on mice and rabbits. The experiments show that the alloy is relatively safe, but really does fill the vessel, blocks the blood flow entirely, and starves the surrounding tissue and of oxygen nutrients. The team has also identified some problems. We can expect this, right? Such as the possibility of blobs of metal making to your brain, your heart, your lungs, and some probably pretty serious side effects. But they say the approach is a promising injectable tumor treatment. You just never know what's going to be, what's going to work. You really don't. And also, the folks over at Uber got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They've been accused of playing dirty and competing with Lyft. I guess Uber employees have been ordering Lyft cars and then no one's showing up. So a little dirty pull by the Uber team. And so anyway, they've been called out on it. Okay, so let me go ahead and look at the comments. I don't know if we've got any. You guys didn't send me any email. So we're going to get out of here. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to do so. Lots of topics tonight. Lots of things that you can fire away at. We'll see what we can do about a guest host on Thursday. And maybe I'll be able to do the show on Monday. Maybe do a short show and do a recap of the weekend. I'm going to probably be pretty zoned out. It's a quick down and back and not much time for a time change and all that stuff, but we'll see how I do. But I'll try to have a guest host for you on Thursday. And if I'm not, I'm going to be here one on Monday or maybe a real short recap show or something. But I want to thank you all for being here and being part of the HANA. Value for value. Just think the show was great, gave you great information, gave you something to think about, make you go, go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Come in and be part of the group of folks that are part of our GNC 1000 that supporting the show financially. Every dollar goes back in the show or takes care of things here. As you guys have noticed, we've stopped the giveaways and that type of stuff that we used to do a lot on the show. We want to respect your contributions and make sure that we spend that money wisely. So we want to thank you for your support and supporting the show and supporting me and doing this. But until next time, everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And from beautiful, sunny Honolulu, Hawaii, aloha.